You are busy praying, Lord. Hey, let him come and say something, Lord. Lord, can't you hear me? Meanwhile, souls are dying. Souls are parting to eternity. Souls will part as we live today. How many really will die in Christ? How many really will live again? Every day, souls are parting into eternity. How many of them are going to die in Christ? We don't care, do we? Pastor, you see, this thing, you are taking it too far. Me taking it too far? You wait. Just you are, the corpse is waiting for you. The senior cop is waiting for you. He will be going there with a smile and they say, put him in cell number 3. Say, why is this? I was going to church. Yeah, you went to church. But you deserve cell number 3. Because when you collected my life, you boasted about it and you went and spent it for yourself. Sure. Forgetting that it's mine. Sure. Forgetting that it's mine. Yeah. Yeah. How can you happily collect Jesus' life and use it for yourself? Confidently. I say, but you see, you can't blame me because, you see, Jesus, I needed it so that I could do some few things. Do some few things. Some few things. Listen. Jesus said, if you are faithful in that which is another man's, then God would give you yours. You see, let me tell you something. I think it's Luke chapter, is it 17 or 16? I think Luke chapter 16. Is it Luke chapter 16? They're unjust. The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the kingdom. If you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? This is Jesus speaking. It's not Paul. It's Jesus. It's God speaking, saying that if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? Who will give you what is your own if you have not been faithful in that which belongs to someone else? So that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves, but will live for Christ who died and rose for them. If you have not been faithful in that which is Christ, who is going to give you your own? Because Paul said, our life is hid in Christ. And when Christ shall appear, then we shall also appear. Now, the life we have, it belongs to Christ. But ours is hid in Christ. Please look for that verse for me. Our life is hid in Christ. When Christ shall appear, then we shall also appear. Galatians 3:10. Yeah. Colossians 3:10. Yeah. 3:3. I know it. I read the Bible. I don't remember everything, the verse, but I remember the thing I read. And thank God for technology. I don't have to. Once upon a time, I'll be. Now I just type in. I get what I need. But you people who are young, you should memorize the verses. Colossians 3:3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with him in glory. So how are you going to appear with him in glory when his life that he has given you, you have been unfaithful? We don't talk about it. We are busy talking about, Lord, give me money for hair. Lord, give me money for house. Give me money for car. What is wrong with the church? Who has bewitched us? No, so definitely Satan has bewitched us. Because all these things, they are written in the Bible. Are they not written there? Are you surprised that all these things are in the Bible? Or you think I've updated your Bible? Yeah. That's also another one. Galatians 2:20 is another one. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also shall appear with him in glory. Galatians 2:19, because Galatians 2:20 is another level. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Read the NLT for us. The NLT is a softer African English. I call it English for African Congregation. Yeah. 19 and 20. You need glasses?
For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all these requirements so that I might live for God. Number 20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in me. It's the same as I have received the newness of that I don't live for myself, but live for Christ. So it's like I've crucified my old life, that is sin life, is crucified with Christ so that Christ can now live in me. So if Christ is living in me, then I must be found to do the things that Christ will do. Like, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. But if you don't wake up, you don't seek and save that which is lost, how can you say Christ is living in you? Somebody else is living in you, but not Christ. Sure. You may be born again, but somebody else is living in you, not Christ. Read on.
So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? But I like my the Colossians 3:3. My life is hid in Christ. Now I'm just living out the one that Christ has given me. Is it different from whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it? Is it different from it? That's what Jesus said. This is what Paul is explaining to us. How can you tell me that? Look, I'm learning that the Bible and Jesus, whatever he said, is so, look, it's so clear. And Paul, thank God for Paul's salvation. Because he is the one, Peter, they said it, but you know, because they are not educated, they could only explain it up to a point. They just said, believe in Jesus. That's what they knew about faith. But Paul explained what is happening so that we can live it out. For ye are dead. What does the NLT say? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. Verse 4. When Christ shall appear, then we shall also appear with him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with him in glory. You see, Bishop, what you are talking about, you see, it's for people who are old already, who have sorted out their lives, and they don't have anything. But some of us who are now starting out, how are we going to live for Jesus Christ? Listen. This is what you did that led Satan to control you. And you are doing the same thing. Jesus knows that he's living in your body. And the body must be maintained. The body must be provided for. So he told the disciples, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, and what to cover yourself, or what to drink. But rather, just seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all of it will be added unto you. Jesus doesn't live rent-free. Jesus doesn't stay in a place and not pay rent. Jesus doesn't borrow a boat and not know that the boat owner has to eat. The last time I remember when he was around, when he borrowed the boat, after he has finished using the boat, he told the boat owner, cast your net here. And the boat owner said, hey, the whole night we've been casting our net there. We didn't get anything, but since you say we should cast our net, we will do it. Just to show you that you are a preacher. You don't know anything about fishing. So when they cast their net, the net was too heavy that now it was going to kill them. And they had to call other people who didn't supply their boat to come and enjoy. Because they realized that if we don't do that, we will die. The Bible says they were about to drown. You think God doesn't care about the boat he uses? You are not well if you think like that. You need prayers. Give us that verse in Luke chapter 5 when it said, cast your ship the boat a little bit, and after he has finished preaching, he says, cast your net here. And Peter said, hey, you these preachers, you think? Okay. I'm going to prove you something that you may preach, but you don't know about the sea like the way I do. The whole night we have been here. And the Bible says, as he cast the net, and what he saw, he says, I'm a sinner, go away from me. Go to verse. Master, Simon replied, listen, let me tell you something. You see, this thing that you are saying, we've been here before you came. You just came to preach. That you can preach doesn't mean you know about fishing. We've worked hard, in case you don't know, all night long. And we have nothing. And you are saying we should do what? I should cast my net. Cool. We'll see that you don't know everything. I'll let down the net. I wasn't going to do it, but I'll do it because you said it, to prove you that you don't know everything. You can preach powerfully. you can heal. But you see, the fish in the sea, they are not at your beck and call. Yeah, they come according to the seasons. It's not about your preaching. You can preach to people, but not to the fish. The fish, they don't hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it means. We work hard all night. What does it mean? It means that, listen, you didn't come to meet us doing nothing. It's not like we didn't know what to do. We've done what we need to do, in case you are not aware. We've been to school. We've applied for jobs. We've been working hard. But our finances are not doing well. Because the economy is tough. Yeah. So don't these things of seek, give, and it shall be given to you. Listen, we've done all those things. So Jesus, in case you don't know, I don't know who you are, but I'm just telling you. Because you see, Jesus had said, verse 4, when he had finished speaking, you see, he came to preach, he came to use his boat. Because the people were a lot, and he wanted some security measures so that the people don't trample on him. So he went a little bit to put water space between them and himself. And he preached. When he had finished speaking, he didn't just get down and go, not thinking about the one whose boat he has used. You are the one who will do that. He doesn't do that. I said, you are the one who will do that. He doesn't do that. He said, can you put your net, just go a bit further and put your net so that you catch something. Yeah, what? Catch what? Do you know what we've been doing? The master, you preach powerfully, but you see, you don't know about economics or fishing. We've done everything you need us to say. But I want to prove you wrong. Guys, throw the net. Let's prove this. Pastors, they think they know everything. They come and they say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's just put it there, put it there. And the Bible says, when they did this, they caught a great number of fish. And problems started. They discovered that their net was not strong. Then problems started. Then all of a sudden, they have to form a company. Normally, we are very selfish. So Jesus didn't use your boat. Me, I used my boat. I had to put the petrol in the thing. Why should you? But the Bible says, as the thing began to endanger their lives, it's like, Charlie, your net is going to break. He was wiser. So he signaled their partners in the other boat. You were not there, but you come and enjoy. Come and help them. So they came and filled both boats so full that now trouble, they began to sink. You want fish? I'll give you fish. The fish will give you trouble. You run away from the fish. And they began, they realized that this thing is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So what did they do? Verse 8. When he fell, he said, get away, go away from me. Go away from me. Go away, go away, go away from me. I'm a sinner. Go, go, go. You are right. I'm wrong. Go. Go away from me. You see, sometimes when we read, we don't think through. Why would Peter say he's a sinner? If he had not had evil thoughts about Jesus' instruction. Why would you say you are a sinner? If the guy has used your boat and he says, do this, and you have it. Oh, say, thank you for paying me a lot. I was going to charge you about 5 fishes, but you've given me a lot. Thank you very much. God bless you. But he said, I'm a sinner. Get away from me. Just go away. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Because in that we have worked all night and hard, it's an insult that if you have come to preach and you've used my boat, just go. I didn't ask you for money. Why are you trying to make us like we don't work. I don't know if you get a message of it. And many of us, when as I'm preaching, live for Christ, it's like, you see, yeah, you can afford to say live for Christ because your hairs are white. By this time, you finish paying your school fees and other things. So, yeah, you can afford to say, we are not starting life. So you can't tell us to live. You are the ones, you old ones, you are the ones who are coming on retirement. You can live for Christ. But as for us, thank God for salvation, but we have things to do. Who is going to look after us? Who's going to pay our school fees? Who's going to do this? Who's going to... Listen, you're finished studying. You finish everything. You are cool. You can afford to say what you are saying and see all the revelations you are seeing. But you see, God will prove you wrong if you will do his word and live faithfully with the life that he has given you. You are faithful with somebody else's own. Doing what God wants you to do. God will do for you what you never dreamt of. It's a verse. It's there. The thing, the fish that he wanted, now the fish was about to kill him. Oh, you didn't, you say, and the boat began to sink. I said, and the boat began to sink. I don't know what they did. Maybe Jesus said something and brought the boat to shore. And the boat began. And they said, the boat so full that they began to sink. Hallelujah. Amen. It's my prayer for you that you have faith to believe and to accept what salvation is in its fullest. Don't choose and pick. Salvation is a package. Your sins are forgiven. You receive a new life. You have access to God. Not to live for yourself, but to live for Jesus. And about your needs, just do what God wants you to do and see what he will do with your needs. Today, I don't think of what to eat. I don't think of what to eat. If it's about what to eat, no. I don't think of where to sleep. No. Sleep, a house, oh no. Everywhere I go in the world, I'll have a house to sleep in. Everywhere I go in the world, I'll have a house to sleep in. Because I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Yeah. Look, the house, whether you own it or you don't own it, it doesn't make a difference. The sleep doesn't change because you own it. And the sleep doesn't change because you don't own it. In fact, sometimes when you don't own it, that's when you can sleep well. Hallelujah. Amen. When is your break? I want us to pray small. What time is the break? What time had you planned for break? Seven for dinner. It's almost seven now. Seven. It's seven, yeah. So let's pray small. Then we can go and eat and come back and continue. You see, what you have heard a lot of truths. Pray about it that it will enter your spirit. It's going to lead you to be blessed. You see what happened to Peter? You will run away from your blessings. You will run away from your blessings. Yeah. I promise you, you will run away from your blessings. You will call for people to come and enjoy your blessing who never participated in the working. But that will be the only way for your safety. You see, when I was growing up, life was very difficult. And for some time, for about 3 months, my mother and her children, we were five. We slept in somebody's veranda. You know what a veranda is? It's like a porch that is not covered. It's just roofed, but there's nothing, just half wall. We slept there for 3 months. Now, today, when I build a house, I don't build to rent. And the problem is sometimes, who can even go and stay there? Who can go and stay there? That's the problem. It's like now, if you ask me to build, I have to think of, if I build here, can I get somebody to go and stay there? I'm not building because I'm looking for a room to sleep. I'm building because I don't want to waste the money. But when I build, somebody must be able to go and stay there. Yeah. When I build, somebody must be able to go and stay there. The boy who slept on the veranda for 3 months with the mother, when we didn't have any place, the same person, serving God, not looking for money, serving God. When I build, I'm not building to rent or building myself. How many rooms do I need? One room. If you ask me to build a retirement home, I'll build one room. Yeah. How many rooms do you need? It's because you don't know, but you just need one room. And you like only one room. Most people do everything in their bedroom. Most people do everything in their bedroom. It's strange when I sit in my dining room or kitchen to eat. It's strange. It feels strange. You see, then I discovered that the truth is that you just need one big room. One big room, that's all. Because you see, what it is that when you really are serving God, He can make you so fruitful that you don't even have time to be in your own house. He can make you so fruitful that your own house, you stay there very few times. Yeah. And you build, not because He will give you wisdom, so you can't waste the money. So you build houses just for people to stay in. Not because you need a house, but because you can't waste the money. So you build for the church to use. You build houses. Okay, where are the full-time young pastors? They must come and stay here so that the church doesn't have rent bill issues. So that they can serve God. Yeah. And it will keep coming. It will keep coming. Hallelujah. Yeah. The only thing is, if you believe, and prepare, lay a good foundation spiritually, the anointing that will be put on your life, the riches it will bring you. You see, and what happens is that, you see, when the anointing is upon your life, the riches can't deceive you. So they don't look attractive anymore. Or not that they don't look, they are not attractive because you know them for what they are, that they are nothing. The reason why you love them and you want them is because you don't know them for what they are and you think they are something. But the anointing, which has the ability to bring a lot of things into your life, would also reveal to you that all those things are useless. So you will not even want them. You can't believe it. That's what I'm saying. The reason why they are so attractive to you is because of what you don't know. When you know them, you say, those things that were gained to me, I can't but thank that I may gain the excellency, that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended by Christ Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Lift up your voice and thank the Lord. Maro nerika sike bedia baba. Zulabos shikele manda hamasi broki maya baba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Roma ki bala senderi babo sibla neri. Ola basa kalama shibri andiri babo. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Kilabosi karundi kibosi kalanda. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Your word is true. Your word is true. Raise from us a people that will faithfully serve you. 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 Oh, faithful. 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 Moria kabashi kata boki boshinderia. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, if you can use anything, Lord, thank you. Use my life. 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 Sibrika paya kataboro boshikalaba muskibalandari ababandiri babo rundiri babo sikalama mamanda nishikilimanda riandiri babo sibro kalamama hamala sindiri ababandiri babo. Oh Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You would impart to our spirit this truth in our inner man, that our lives will never be the same. Deliver us from every bondage and deliver us from every blindness. Let us see, let us hear, that we may live for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. God bless you. Let's welcome Pastor Pascal.
Your hands together for Bishop. Come on. Wow. Wow. What a blessing. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Wow. Wow. Whoa. Yeah. What do you think? Are you blessed? And tell your neighbor, and that's just the beginning. I don't know what you're going to do. That's just the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our hands together one more time for Bishop. Yes. Thank you so much. All right. I'm going to ask our camp director to come and give us direction as to what's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. Are you excited? Yes. Awesome. Awesome.
Hallelujah. Let's give this for our pastor.